Welcome to the Draw.Biz Podcast, your weekly dose of fantasy footy content.
G'day everybody, and welcome to the Round 9 review and waiver wire pickup. I'm your host, John Crockett, and we are going to go through all the games this week, take your questions as well, but we need some panellists to do that. Now, you can forget the pride of Portland, Rowan Marshall. He might be the biggest thing in Western Victoria, but we have a big fella on the show today. It is the one and only Stevie Fizz. How you doing?
Getting back into the Reds. Been a long month. Just kicked Dry July in the dick, as they say in the classics, Jono, and then took an extra day just for bonus points.
Bonus points, that's good, because we do know Cam cheated on the very last day and got on the drink, so well done in winning the bet, Steve.
What's interesting about all this is, like, Mrs. Fizz and my mum were actually the ones who were pushing me. Now, Mrs. Fizz doesn't drink really anyway, so she said she'd do chocolate. And I had the bet with Cam. Everyone else broke. Everyone else broke.
Mind.
You're a weak as fuck. Weak.
Speaking of weak, it is Cam McLaughlin. Welcome.
It's a great segue, Jono. Thanks. Yeah, I just basically came in and slammed my 50 on the table and I was out of the bet. But at the moment, guys, I'm feeling a little bit like Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure, because the game of the, you know, one of the games is happening at the moment as we're recording, Frio versus Port. And we already have teams for next round. Yeah, Frio versus Collingwood. How crazy is it that we've already got teams? That blows my mind.
Yeah. I cannot keep up at all. It's doing my head in. And someone whose head is getting done in because he's getting smashed by Cam in the Keeper League, it is the Statesman. Welcome to you.
I'm getting smashed by everyone in fucking everything, mate. I've had a gutful. I hate the fucking year. I haven't worked for 4 months. I don't know what work looks like. I'm in semi-retirement, and right now I just feel like a grumpy old fuck because I hate all the young people and what they're doing, and I wish I had a free handbag.
Well, this is what, getting dropped on Monday. By tomorrow afternoon, I might not be working with you as well, Stato, so who the fuck knows what's happening.
And I'm also at the point where I'm so annoyed that the key player for me, that all they had to score was 60, which was probably about 25 below their average, actually went on the park as the competition's highest tackler. Didn't do a tackle today, and then we're hearing whispers that he was injured. I wish we knew that.
That is Corona Dome. It's going to be weird and wonderful for the next 2.5 weeks, but we are going to get into the Round 9 review, kicking it off with the Dogs and Tigers, and why don't you take us through it, Stato?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that game. Richmond will have some stars coming back over the next couple of weeks. So players will lose their roles, and even some of them will lose their place in the team. But some will actually have improved scoring opportunities because of that. So just make sure you pick your marks, and you should look at doing some trades now with some of those players. Some of the sell highs should be Short and Bolton. So Bolton will have reduced mid time. Short just won't have that opportunity once Hooley gets back. They'll actually revert to using Hooley. And the buy lows of Loston and also Higgins. So Higgins' scores have dropped right off as soon as that sort of team and band have come through. So I think he'll be able to be freed up a little bit more and be able to get a few of the more cheap ones once those better players are back in there. Second up, Dunkley returns into the mix for round 10. The player it should most affect will be Toby McLean, who actually received some mid-time this week. And because of their team woes, you actually might start seeing Bont spend a little bit more time up forward because their forward structure is just not working, with exception to Mitch Wallace, who's been playing quite well as they try to find some scoring options. A buy low target actually may be English if the owner is fed up with his last two returns, a 41 and a 53. It may be too late, but Dusty is back. He will become a tag target, so make sure you plan around that before putting the C on him. But of course, as Essendon now think their system is way too good to put any effort and time into good players, expect him to score 200 against the Bombers when they're up against them in a few weeks' time. And that's the wrap, boys. To be fair, Bulldogs were woeful, Jono. And Richmond's system, which is much better than Essendon's system, worked quite well on the weekend.
Stato, Bolter, Supercoach pickup?
Yeah, look, he's had two really big scores. So it's one of those that you think is probably better sitting on the bench, ready to stream and ready to loophole if it actually comes through. I think they play reasonably early in the next couple of rounds, so it's worthwhile doing that. But he's had real burst high scores and a couple of low ones. And you're right, Supercoach is much better for him because of the potential intercept marking that he's been taking.
And just on the Bolton one, they did say Cochin's going to be managed in the next few weeks as well, so he could be a little handcuffed there if you can get them together as well.
Letting him have a game off for a facial?
Quite possibly. Cam, run us
not even a laugh there, gents. I thought that was not bad.
Was it though?
Okay. I mean, it's the hair. It's all about the hair for Koch.
Okay. It got shaved off, so.
Who cares?
His missus got a facial COVID breach.
I don't want to talk about facial state. It's been a long, lonely winter.
Don't get him riled up.
Oh, sorry. I should have asked. Rather than me bitching and complaining because my teams have gone to shit for 3 weeks and on a trot now. How are you guys feeling? I mean, obviously, Cam, actually, speaking of which, I was going to give your deputy premier a bit of a smack around the chops with his little smirk. Did you hear about this, Cam?
No, I didn't. Tasmania's
obviously opened the borders for a few states. I mean, they're the ones that are controlling the COVID situation really well. So South Australia, Northern Territory and WA have effectively, Tassie have opened the borders to them. So if you want to come from those states, you can come and visit Tassie. But said no to Victoria, New South Wales and Queensland. So the Deputy Premier from Queensland goes on the news with a little smirk on his face and who wants to go to Tasmania anyway? We got much better things here like the reef. Well, I'll give you one tip, buddy. You can keep your smirk, you can keep Pauline Hanson, you can keep your COVID, and you can also keep your stolen handbags, mate. So, and this is coming from a bitter Tasmanian that can still remember the Commonwealth Games in 1982 when you left us off the map.
Well,
we've got Clive Palmer as well, so.
No, I was hoping that we could get rid of him. Yeah.
Haven't they killed the reef yet? Haven't they done
it?
Was the whole point. You're smirking saying that. I'm going, hold on, mate. We protect our icons.
Yeah, like Bogues.
As someone who's in inner Melbourne, I'm pretty flat right now, got to say.
Yeah.
Pretty flat.
So, sorry, guys. I just wanted to touch base to see how you guys were tracking. It's been a tough week and a half.
You'll hear it in my son's and GWS review because that game was straight after the announcement and I gave no fucks whatsoever. That's how flat I was. I
wish that game didn't actually happen.
I've got to be honest, we did the Dry July and the second week was tough, but after that, it's probably the best I've felt for a long time.
That's good, mate.
We actually, up here, we've had a couple of people that have brought COVID back into our environment, and it's made us question a lot of things. So, yesterday we went down to the beach for the first time with Ollie because we're just not sure if we're going to be able to do that in 2 weeks' time. It's changed everything a little bit.
We're doing everything at home, and it's just we're probably better as a family. I don't know if that does make sense, but it sucks. It's fucking shit for everyone. I feel for you, Johnny.
For sure.
D's and Port Cam, run us through it.
Well, I mean, this game was practically COVID, but we'll go through it anyway. We've talked about a few times in preparation for the Corona Dome, just how it's all going to pan out. And there's been a few speculations about resting and all that sort of stuff. And this game was essentially over at half time. And a lot of the players on both sides of the fence seemed to go to the fish and chipper a little bit early, with scores sort of tapering off in that fourth quarter. you'd think this probably comes down to a few different things, and one of them I would suggest is actually trying to rest up, given that they've got such a short turnaround for games. As we were saying before, Port's team is already named because they're playing again tomorrow. Houston was moved out of the midfield in favour for Rocky coming back into the side, and Rocky turned up in both formats. Most importantly for his owners, though, he looked really good doing it, and played 88% game time, which is 20% up on where he was before he got dropped. Conversely, Travis Boak played his lowest time on ground for the season with 73%. Similarly, Sam Powell-Pepper, 63%, lowest of the season. It's, I think, due to the compressed fixture, and again, they were maybe trying to rest some of those players so that next game they're going to be a little bit more fresh. And so it might be something to keep an eye on with players like Rocky, who have an unexpectedly high time on ground game, that maybe they're in for a bit of a rest the next week. And conversely, if you have someone that's had an uncharacteristically low time on ground, potentially they're going to have a big week the week after. Or the game after, I guess. Brad Ebert, just for owners, will be a little bit concerned. He's been injured, and so his run of 40s in both formats over the last 3 weeks, it's actually due to a lingering injury, and he's sitting out tomorrow's game as a result.
Right.
Can I ask about Rosie? Like, he seems to me like someone you could buy in a redraft, like, super cheap if he's not even hitting the waiver wire at this point. That seems to me like, in this crazy fixture world, like, you could be looking at the teams, buy him on the super cheap, stash him on your bench, and if things broke your way in the second half of the year, like Rocky gets injured or rests occur, like someone who could provide you with some massive upside. Would you agree, or?
Absolutely, for a bench stash, and especially in your deeper bench leagues, absolutely.
Absolutely. Stato, the Blues and the Hawks.
Yes, from giving away huge points over the last few weeks to suffocating a team for three quarters is what the Hawks' change of form has done. Outside Cripps and the tagging Ed Curnow for the Blues had only underperforming players. But the upside is there. So look at bargains like Will Setterfield, who only scored a 31. So that's probably, you know, gets, especially if he's on the field, gets a coach quite upset and quite happy to move. And he's quite a buy-low candidate because his form for the previous 3 or 4 weeks before that was actually quite impressive. Secondly, Tom Mitchell is slowly coming back. 73 points from his first 5 games was definitely a slow start and certainly had owners nervous. We heard about the shoulder. We were worried about the rehab from the leg. But now 84 in his past 5 games is a good sign. So it's hold or buy at current value, and understand it's not really a buy low with someone that's named the pig. But he will be able to be purchased at his current value right now, which still should be a great pickup if that scoring keeps on increasing. Just accept that you can't buy low on that. And last but not least, and a player that's really turned the corner, it's a bit about the role again, and certainly someone that I threw away with steak knives because I just didn't thought he was going to get it back, but he has, and that's Liam Shields. He's returned to the midfield. He's got a great role now. His scoring is lifted out of sight, and again, worthy of starting in your midfield group. And just purely because of that average, you might be able to get him as a little bit of a cheap buy. So Liam Shields certainly worthwhile picking up.
Do you reckon that Hawthorn midfield was struggling due to the fact that they hadn't really played a lot together in the previous years, and just a bit like GWS, trying to work out rotations and who's doing what?
No, look, you can only have a look at what their form was like last year to what it is this year. It's not hugely different, to be honest. I think part of it is, and the coach said it pretty clearly, that they actually weren't enjoying the hub. So I think they were one of those that were probably thinking of all the outside influences, and they made it a real focus to get back to what they should be doing, and hence the result. It's a challenging year for everyone, and football clubs are not immune to that. because some can do it better than others. And some, you look at Brisbane, their year's interrupted, so they're doing different things, but they're the least interrupted than anyone else has been at this stage. So as soon as they got a few wins, they got the momentum, they're in a comfort zone, they're effectively not in a hub, they're living at home, so they've got all those little advantages. So they've been able to run the form. Others have had to move into state, so that becomes a real challenge. Some use it as a bonding situation, and some struggle with all the external noises and voices that come. So I think that's probably more to it. So hopefully now they've got that balance right. To me, you look through the list, and there's some holes. Let's face it, they haven't got all these young stars coming through regenerating. So I think they're going to be up and down. I just think that's the type of club they are. They're just, they're bottom of the top eight or upper in the lower 10.
Fair enough. Steve, run us through the Bombers and the Lions.
Well, this game was all about the return of the Wither Goat. he was dominant, Alex Witherden. A lot of people were all over him off waivers with Daniel Rich and Froggy Lesterban out. And he looked awesome, man. Like, everything that came towards him, he took it. All his disposals were hitting the target, it seemed. 432 metres gain, like 170 Supercoach. He was just outstanding. I find it hard to see him being the first one out when those other stars come back. Not sure I'd be expecting 93 and 170, but if you picked him up, you know, awesome, good for you. But Rich will come back. Not that he was setting the world on fire, and Lester will come back. So there will be some moves going around. I'd probably expect Stasevic to find his way out of the team after having a pretty good first half of the year, it's got to be said. On the other side, the long-awaited debut, I think I had him in my keeper team like 3 years ago, Sam Draper with the rudest lid going around, 55 and 73. So he got 21 hit-outs, and, you know, going up against the big O, maybe it's not the biggest ruck challenge in the world, but they've got GWS next week, and I wouldn't have thought that was the biggest ruck challenge in the world either. So he looked, I mean, he looked pretty good for a first game ruckman, I gotta be honest. But it probably will be that shared role at best. We know Essendon have got a couple guys there, so I think he's probably a more popular target for your salary cap formats than draft, but he's certainly a keeper ruck to keep in the bank. Hugh McCluggage had a pretty low score, but I mean, everything he did was class. I was watching the game, and he was really parked out on a wing for the first half, and it seemed like every time Brisbane had the ball, they were just using the other side of the ground. So he really didn't have a lot of opportunities, but everything he did was class. Like, he had 13 disposals, 7 contested, 5 clearances, and, you know, he was good with all of them. He just didn't get much of it, so that was sort of all I thought there. The other big question I had was Devin Smith, man. I'd be shipping him. Like, this was his best score in a little while. I've got him in a couple leagues, and he had a crap score a few weeks ago, and I was like, well, he still had a lot of touches. He gave away some frees, blah, 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 but he kicked 2 goals and could really just tick over the 60 points. I think he's pretty well cooked for me. I'd be moving him on.
Fair enough.
Can I ask a question? Is Darcy Parrish ever going to get in that midfield mix? Is this, you look at even Stringer's out, you've got Hibbert as the big body that isn't playing, but still Darcy Parrish isn't in that mix. I'm starting to think that maybe the midfield's not going to be for him at that club.
Well, he sort of gets in there in spurts. Like, he takes his time, but he's not, I mean, he's not a full-timer, but that's okay, I think. I personally wonder if he's got the tank for it, Stato. That's my big question. Like, I think he's worth persisting with, you know, in your keepers, but he's kind of a hard one. He's kind of a hard one for me. Like, he's probably better for Supercoach than Dream Team. He's not a big ball winner.
He's going to be that Isaac Heaney type player, just perennially.
But I don't think he's that good up forward. That's the problem.
No, I don't think he is that good up forward. He's a tough one. He's got all the tricks. Maybe he needs to go to another club. I don't know. I don't know, Stato. It's an interesting one.
And I think that's what the worst thing is, right? Like last year when he was signing a new contract, they played him in the guts while they were negotiating with him. And then as soon as he signed the contract, he was back to that forward role. And since then, he's just basically played mid-forward. So he's locked in for 2 years.
Yeah, and maybe he's just a great bloke, like to have in the building and you don't want to let him go, and maybe he feels obliged to start. I don't know. There's different, he's a young guy. You know,
he won him the game against Sydney. Went into the midfield, one quarter, 13 possessions, whammo.
And that's where he does his best work. So I'm not sure what the answer is, because it seems to me like they have a lot of good forwards, so you wouldn't need him there. They don't have a lot of good midfielders. But I don't know why. Everyone's probably asking that same question, Stato. I don't have the answer.
Well, I checked out the
You're the great Fizz. You're meant to have the answers.
Well, you know, it's funny. He the last four, say in Supercoach, the last 4 weeks he scored between 90 and 100. Now, that's good for a forward. So he's really good in that format, because everything he does is contested. Maybe he doesn't have the tank. Maybe he has trouble finding space. We look at Hugh Greenwood. All his touches are contested. They're not uncontested. He doesn't take marks. He lays tackles. Like, maybe he's just a...
Some weeks he does.
Yeah, some weeks. Sorry, but, that's how the game goes. And you look at Devin Smith. Like, he's been a great tackler. He only had one or two in this game. So... Hugh McCluggage, great player. Didn't go his way this week. That's how it goes sometimes.
I checked out the North and the Crows game, and wow, game of the round this one was. Just high scoring from one side. The tank is on with the Adelaide Crows. I mean, how's that dropping Tex Walker, the spiritual leader of that club with gastro, allegedly. But they've got a world of problems with the Crows. I would not be touching any of their players. Maybe for Rory Laird and Riley O'Brien, but that's about it. Brady Smith is okay as well. He went off with a bit of a knee concern there in the first half, but did come back on and played all right, so one to watch there. Mad Jack Dorr came in for his first game in about 7,000 years and actually played pretty well. And he was playing everywhere. He was playing ruck, forward, and a little bit of defence as well, which sort of... I'm not too sure if it hurt Goldie did play the 80 minutes on Saturday, but it might be they're looking at Dorr as that backup ruckman, which it's still pretty solid because we know how athletic he is. At times, I swear to God, it was like the old AFL video games where you could bring your defenders to the forward lines to kick goals because it was on easy mode. That's what happened. Like Jamie Millen going forward and snagging goals, it was pretty poor to watch for the Adelaide Crows team. It was pretty horrendous. And Luke McDonald, I think we've been talking about him for many years that he might actually have some sort of fantasy role. And he was the guy on Saturday that seemed to be the release man from defence. Either Walker or Tarrant would give him the ball, and he was just running out of defence at will and scored quite nicely. Got 136 Supercoach, 118 AFL Fantasy. So he could be one to watch in the coming weeks, but they're not going to be playing the Crows each week, so one to watch there. And Pittard was forward as well, which was an interesting one as well. So Reshaw certainly moving the magnets there as well. And Jai Simpkin, been a lot of chat about him. He's been having a fantastic year, but I still reckon he might be struggling just a little bit with that ankle injury still. So maybe you could throw out an offer if people aren't aware of that, and just maybe as a little bit of a buy-low candidate with a couple of poor scores the last fortnight there.
Yep. Last 3 weeks.
3 weeks. There you go. Saints and the Swans, Cam.
Yeah, we called it a couple of weeks ago that Will Haywood may see a bit of a bump in scoring due to Heaney's injury, but it was a bit speculative at the time. And then last week, we didn't get a chance to see if that was the case. But we've now had two games where he's gone mid-70s. The game before, he was injured, and now this one as well. So I think maybe there's something to it. And whilst most of his possessions, like if you look at the heat maps, it's all down the defensive end of the ground. Don't worry, he was playing as a forward. It's just where the game was played. He is playing that lead-up forward role, and he does look the goods. Callum Mills' move to the midfield has made more space in defence for solid scorers, for potentially solid scorers, for people like Dane Rampey and Mr. Not Good Enough for the Draft Kit, Cunningham. Before this, before this one, Rampey had a solid last three average of like mid-60s, but spent most of the game marking in a one-on-one contest with Max King, whereas previously he'd been playing in set role. Pending matchups week on week, I can see these two sort of scoring quite consistently over the next few weeks. For those that happened to get Jack Sinclair off the waivers 2 weeks ago, you'd be pretty bloody happy. He popped out another fieldable effort with a very nice 69 AFL fantasy points and 102 super coach points. And finally, Rowan Marshall owners will be praying that Paddy Ryder's hand injury is as bad as possible, as he was back to his high-scoring ways in both formats in just 74% time on ground. He may ruck solo over the next few weeks with Battle giving him some chop-outs like he did earlier in the season, and I'd expect him to score similarly to how he did then, which was pretty darn good.
Get around the pride.
The pride.
Run us through the Eagles and the Cats data.
Yeah, Cam called it. It's a Duncan season. He's just going wherever he wants to, and 2 tons since coming back from injury is just fantastic form. Yeah, very, very impressive. There has been a bit of a squeeze in the Eagles midfield, but with Redden out, there was the right amount of mouths to feed. Hence, Sheed back on top of the leaderboard with 81, Yo with 79, Kelly with 78, and Shuey with 70, all sharing it around. And you haven't seen equal scoring in the Eagles' midfield at all this season because there have been too many. Redden owners should be a little bit nervous because his role on his, and if he returns, may not be in that midfield mix if they keep performing well. And last but not least, with the Geelong midfield slowly coming back, there will be reduced opportunity for the band of young boys that have actually come through in recent weeks. You may need to sell while you can or hold and just be patient to see if other injuries or management comes up. But those players are going to start slowly feeding back into that team. I think Joel Selwood will be back in their next game as well. So just be mindful of that. Constable got knocked out. He'll be going through his protocol, so he might be the first one to go. And, of course, for the listeners, just to let you know, Dossie only sent us about 140 messages talking about his time on ground. Of course, another one of these boys that aren't good enough to play.
Well, yes, I don't know what to say about that, but moving on to the GWS and the Suns, and TFG, he was on fire earlier, but Ping went the string, so he said at the end of the game that it wasn't a major one, so he's obviously going to miss this week, and they've got the bye in round 11, so you'd think he's back round 12, depending on what sort of break the GWS have there. So just standard string, 2 to 3 weeks. Also, Matty DeBoer, in the last probably minute, did his string as well. So key midfielders will be praising with rejoice that they're not going to get tagged in the next couple of weeks. Not too sure who they've got coming up.
I'll have a look.
So they'll be very happy there. The Jag got the tag. That is, Dave Swallow was getting tagged there by DeBoer and really hampered his scoring. He'd been playing pretty well, Swallow. And we've mentioned it earlier, zero tackles for Hugh Greenwood I know we've had a few questions in the past couple of weeks. Is it sustainable? I think he's averaging 9 tackles a game. 9 is definitely not sustainable, but to not lay a tackle, there is room of the injury concern there as well. So one to watch there. And Sam Collins, absolutely massively underrated at the moment, mainly for your super coach scoring, pumped out the ton again this week. So a couple of tons the last couple of weeks, so he could be floating around on your waiver wires there, just intercepting everything that comes into that defensive 50.
Yeah, I've got a... It's time for the segment again, boys. Players getting a game before Fiorini. this week, we have Nick Holman. The Gold Coast Suns tagger managed to lay just the 2 tackles and allowed Whitfield, Hopper, Kelly, Taranto, and Stephen Cornelio to all go ballistic.
But he was tagging Nick Haynes. That was big.
Oh, dude.
Who also went well.
Who also went well. And special mention to pod favourite Jared Harbrow, who managed the 9 disposals in a game played entirely around him.
Did gain 39 metres with those 9 disposals, though. Let's...
My goodness.
Let's not lose sight of that fact.
Backwards kicking and pulling. Wow. And it is halftime while we are talking about this in the Freo and the Pies game. It's all things Caleb Sarong. He's getting a massive bump in that midfield. Even with 5 back, he's scoring pretty well. 5 spending probably 50-50 time forward and in the midfield. But when 5 is in the midfield, Jack Crisp is running with him. So it's actually not a bad move there. So you're not losing the defender when he goes forward. Brayshaw's scoring did come to a bit of a standstill there in that second.
Yeah, because I brought him in, people. Sorry.
Sell.
Well, it's not DOS, so it's fine. It's not the kiss of death just yet.
I think Statesman is DOS this year.
I think I am becoming. I can tell you, 3 weeks on the trot, everything I've done has just turned to shit.
And Connor Blakely back in that team as well. He's scoring well. And I think a lot of owners have rejoicing that he is back in that team as well. So I don't know if anyone there's got an update on what's happening, but that's all I notice at the moment. And Grundy just seems to be plodding along, even though he's up against Sean Darcy.
Yeah, I think the Caleb Sarong thing is really interesting. Just from last week, he towed up Dangerfield. It was a one-on-one matchup the entire game, and he took him to school. And I think from on the back of that, they've just increased his opportunity this week. Yeah. So that is very interesting sign for someone like an Andrew Brayshaw or an Adam Chera, who maybe have fallen down the pecking order to the Caleb Sarong. And Grundy, like, even though he's plodding along, I mean, he's plodding along at 61 in the third quarter. Like, he's doing pretty well at this point. I think he might be okay.
I think he might ton up, because I think the last quarter, as long as they don't plonk him at full forward again, the last quarter he should do his normal business.
Yeah.
Just get that junked on. Yep, fair enough. All right, we are going to move into our waiver wire pickups. And I'm making an executive decision here because it's going to be on brand. We used to use the ultimate ownership, but I'm going to go with that nice 69% ownership from now on. It is decided. So
you could see it coming a mile away. Innovation that matters.
Do it sooner, but
innovation that matters.
Cam, why don't you kick us off with your waiver pickups for this week?
Yeah, I've just got the 4 this week. Aiden Corr, 63% owned. Looked like he's a little bit more freed up in that back line with Zach Williams coming back and Whitfield moving to the wing. I think it just allowed him to get a few more of those switch style plus sixes in your AFL fantasy formats. Luke McDonald was barely a game, but he dominated off the half back with Jasper Pittard playing as a forward. So Luke McDonald was subbed from his tag duties. He was tagged.
Luke McDonald's done it.
Was he tagging last week though, or was he playing off the half back?
I didn't see the game.
So I think it's worth checking out because I didn't see it because who would watch North Melbourne?
Yeah, he just played sort of that sort of loose halfback role.
I
was going to tweet, if Luke McDonald looks like the best AFL footballer in a game, the game's not great.
Yes.
But I also think you actually look at, so even a Zach Merritt, a 138 against Adelaide, I don't know if we can read too much in some of the bloated scores you're getting against the Crows at the moment, because it gives you misleading. And maybe there's an art to this, that they score big against Adelaide. Try to sell them if you don't think they're a keeper for your team.
Well, I think the thing is, he's probably on your waiver in your single season draft. And I still think there's probably a worth of a speculative defence or bench pickup. 53% he's got. Will Hayward, already talked about him, 23% owned, so still really low ownership. And Sam Mays from Port, two good games, one bad one, 50% owned. Could be quite useful across this condensed fixture.
And Doggy's giving up midfield points and defensive points.
Well, is that going to happen with Dunkley? Maybe not.
Yeah, because it depends on the Bulldogs.
Okay.
The bipolar of the Bulldogs. Depends which one turns up, the good or the bad, we don't know.
Yeah.
Stato, what have you got?
Yeah, just a few to add on. He covered Haywood and Sinclair. Size, the Bears playing as we speak. He's only 35% owned. His issue will be time on ground and then sign bottom coming on, all those type of things. But he's scored 35 so far. It's a little bit light on, but he has done some nice things. So it'll be interesting to see whether he gets to stay in that team. One we've talked about a bit is Will Day, defender for Hawthorn. He's still really impressing me as a footballer. Now, it is a bit more of a keeper buy, but only 62% owned. He can pump out a good score and uses the footy really well. And last but not least, Jack Ross, midfielder for Richmond, got back in with a 60 this week, only 23% owned. Be interesting to see where they go with him. Second year, and he's sort of a classy inside-outside, and I think he's one they should be reasonably patient with, and I hope they keep giving him the game time. I was quite impressed with him for his first game back.
Fair enough. Steve, you got any waiver wire pickups there?
Oh, this is Caleb Sarong kid at 64%. I'd throw the kitchen sink at him by the looks of things. That's about it.
Yeah. Oh, I can't believe I dropped him in our keeper.
You idiot.
Yeah.
You can, 2021 can't come quick enough for you, big fella.
Oh, mate, I think I need 2028.
Champ.
Could be a good year. Yeah.
Old mate, Cobber. I've only got Sam Collins as a super coach play. He's 17% in ultimate footy and had all the other guys. So that's all we've got there. We're going to move on to the questions now. If you do want to send us a question, you can hit us up on Twitter at The Draft Doctors or search for The Draft Doctors on Facebook. I've got Steve Canton. He asked, there was hype about a month or so ago about Zorko becoming dual position. Do you think he's still a chance to get forward status? Also, any other players that we think might get DPP this year, in this next round of position changes? Cheers, champions.
Can I just say he actually wrote duel, not dual? And, sir, I demand satisfaction!
I didn't see that, the duel.
But, yeah, I don't know.
Give him the glove.
Is it Robin Hood, Men in Tights, just slaps him with a gauntlet instead of a leather glove? moving on. Ninja Spoons. I think we've done this a thousand times.
That was a bad answer. I can't see. Didn't Zorko miss? I've got him. I don't see him getting forward status.
Yeah, he
get it the first round.
But he didn't play enough games to get it in the first time. But I
and then got injured. So
yeah, I don't think he'll get it this time.
Nah. Ninja Spoon asks, is it Parmigiana, Palmer, or Palmy? Palmer is the only answer on that one.
You should write that. We should write that on face masks. Like turn the face mask into a political statement. It's Palmer.
And what, fridge in the cupboard?
Sauce in the fridge. Fridge in the cupboard. Wow. Jesus, Johnny. Man, lockdown is going bad for you.
I'm on the blended scotch right now, straight up. So that's how well it's going for me.
You've got your fridge in the cupboard.
Yeah, why not? Why not? Best of both worlds that way. Surly the Hansard asks, after one round of the Festival of Footy, how are your couches holding up? Do any of the hosts need to make an emergency dash to Harvey Norman? Not at the moment, because my couch, I don't know, I've got like 3 seating positions, so I just rotate them around when the cushions get a bit too soft, so I'm pretty good. I don't know about you guys.
Baby Fizz took a piss on our couch and we had to wash the cushions, so yeah, it's not in action at the minute. What? The seat covers are drying. They need to dry. Jesus.
Rust2468 asks, he's hoping Fiorini gets traded at the end of the season. Where would he get the best chance to get his scoring back up to 2019 levels?
Adelaide.
Although they're one paced. Oh, I actually think Carlton might be a really good mix. So they need that other big body. And Matt Kennedy, as well as he's doing at the moment, he's not the true big body, and Fiorini is.
Do you think they're grooming Satterfield for that? Because he's a big-bodied guy as well. Mm. Only 22, possibly. 23.
Sydney?
Yeah, with Sydney. Kennedy disappearing, yeah.
Clarkey asked, does Dunks go straight into his starting midfield? He would have to bench either Warple, Matt Crouch, Jed Godison, or Yeo, who would get his average of 71. He has been burnt in AFL fantasy in the past, starting players first week back from injury. I don't think you've got a problem with Dunkley. I think he's straight to the guts, and other players might get pushed out of that midfield.
Yeah, and I generally think it's the second game back from a long spell that's more the issue. They seem to go all right when they're fresh. It's the second one.
Yep. Mickey Allen asks, what do you guys think about Haywood? He reckons he's got the Heaney role. I think we mentioned that earlier.
Yeah, he's playing well. He's creative, and I think they want him around because he's a good user and a good decision maker. So I think he's shown enough that they'll try and use him as much as they possibly can.
Yep. And Tim Guest asks, Sims can persist or sideways? Sounds like salary cap, but I'd say persist. Because I dare say they would have a bye coming up in about a week and a half, 2 weeks, when rounds 13 onwards get released. Mm-hmm. So there will be a bye in there, give them an opportunity to rest up. And Stuart Ward on Facebook asks, does Day, Scrimshaw and Impey on the one back line ruin Sicily's score?
No, because they've played together and he scored really well except for last week. But it's because after quarter time, basically, Hawthorn controlled the game.
Yeah, fair enough, yeah. I don't know if you guys saw it. I put in the chat, Brenton Shannon put in his question he has the auction draft, and he just wanted to ask us about how we'd rank a whole list of players. I don't know if you guys saw it, but just out of these guys, who do you like the best for a keeper league going forward? You got Adam Sard, Sam Simpson, Sam Mays, Harry Jones, Ben Patton, the better Big O, Oscar Allen, Benny Keys, Jackson Nelson, Eggboy Smith, Castagna, Kent, Kane Farrell, Vandermeer, Butler, Laverde, Hamill, Radaglia, Hayden McLean, and Lloyd Meek. Any thoughts on that, Stato?
No, I think Cam was having a look at that. I don't know if Cam's got the answer.
Yeah, I think there's maybe a couple there. Rather than say who's the best, I might just say the three that would interest me, and it's probably Ben Patton from St Kilda as a defender. I think Latham Vandermeer looks really good as that sort of hybrid mid-forward. And I'd also back in, even though we haven't really seen him yet, Lloyd Meek to get the money over Sean Darcy in the next couple of years.
I will take Oscar Allen.
He was going to be the next one. Yep.
Yeah, I'll take Oscar Allen over Meek because you just definitely know he's going to be performing.
Yeah. Sean Darcy, right, Western Victorian boy, he's not going anywhere. He's locked in.
Yeah, I agree.
What?
You know Cobden, it's this pissant little tiny town. Sean Darcy, Zach Merritt, and Sam Walsh all come from there.
Wow. Yeah, they breed them good.
A lot of dairy.
Certainly do.
A lot of protein.
I think that wraps up everything for this week. Any other final thoughts, boys?
Yeah, I just need 20 points from Crisp in the last quarter to beat him. So I'll be barracking hard.
Did he get 30 in that quarter?
He's on 51 as we speak.
Because it's raining now as well. Oh, man.
We're going to wrap it up.
Goal.
Did he?
Did he? I needed that. Yes, we did. Whoa.
All right, we're going to wrap it up there. Thanks for listening, everyone. Good luck and be safe to everyone who's in Victoria. I know I'm doing it a little bit tough, and I'm sure we will get through this. Stay safe, and we'll see you next week.